This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Many North Carolinians have learned a new vocabulary word this year, fracking. The shorthand term for hydraulic fracturing has been on the lips of legislators, landowners, and environmentalists for quite a while now. Last night, about 300 people turned out to a public hearing on fracking in Sanford in Lee County. Lee, Chatham, and Moore counties to the west and southwest of the Triangle could be greatly affected by changes to the state's fracking regulations. Fracking involves using millions of gallons of highly pressurized water and chemicals to extract natural gas from shale lying beneath the Earth's surface. Large deposits of this shale gas have been identified in and around Sanford and also in the Dan River area north of Greensboro. Lawmakers and regulators are considering changes to the state's rules governing fracking. Last night's hearing gave the public a chance to weigh in. Joining me to talk about the state's legislation and the concerns about fracking is Kirk Ross. He writes about the North Carolina legislature in his blog, Exile on Jones Street, and contributes to the Independent Weekly and the Carrboro Citizen. Kirk, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Frank.
First, it's good to have you here, and you've devoted quite a bit of time to covering the story, so you know a lot. But it's fair to say that you also have a definite opinion. So we should say up front that you think fracking is a bad idea. Is that right?
Well, I think jumping into it quickly is definitely a bad idea. Putting it on a fast track is very problematic. It really hasn't been studied. There are a lot of question marks, and if you look at what's happening in places around the rest of the country, there have been some pretty bad consequences and a lot of questions raised. So I would say at this point, I don't think we should be jumping into it, no.
All right. Well, I just want to sort of get that out of the way up front. That said, you've come by your opinions honestly. You've looked into this quite a bit. You've gotten a fair amount of information. So first, let me ask you to bring us up to speed on what lawmakers have been doing with regard to fracking. You can tell us perhaps first about Senate Bill 709.
Well, 709 is called the Energy Jobs Act. And what it does, basically three moving parts to this bill. It's a fairly large, complicated bill. The first part sets up a framework that would allow North Carolina to regulate and to receive royalties for offshore extraction of natural gas, all the offshore drilling that you're hearing about now. Then there's the onshore, is how it's listed in the bill, and that's the fracking section of the legislation. And it doesn't exactly allow fracking. There is a World War II era law on the books that prevents horizontal drilling in North Carolina. And what 709 does, it doesn't repeal that, but it puts fracking on a fast track because it directs the state Department of Environment and Natural Resources, or DENR, as everybody calls it, to set up regulations for the industry. And basically the idea would be that the regulations and how the state will collect royalties and deal with land use would be in place then if legislators decide to lift the ban then in the next session on fracking. On the actual horizontal drilling.
And that would have to come in the next session because it didn't really pass in the last session.
No. 709 was one of the 16 bills that Governor Perdue vetoed. And it, for the last two special sessions, it has sat on the calendar. The override, rather, possibility has been there. And it's been on the calendar, but it's never been brought up. And that, for those of us who watch the legislature, that usually indicates that the leadership doesn't have the votes for the override. There is some discussion that they may be within a vote or two. But, you know, there's, like I said, that's all speculation. It hasn't come up before. And from what I'm hearing from folks in the environmental community, they don't think it's likely to come up again.
In the meantime, though, the state has authorized the study of fracking. State's Department of Natural Resources last night held a meeting in Sanford because it's going to, if those regulations are legalized, if we authorize regulations, you're going to have to know what you're dealing with. So tell us about that process. What's the process now?
Well, there was another bill that was, you know, if the legislature can't pass something right away, they tend to put wrap it into a study bill. And there is another bill that that requires Diener to study fracking, to take public comment, and it's much more broadly drawn. In 709, it's real specific that they're supposed to set up a regulatory framework. In this other bill, which is 242, they have a little bit broader discretion in what kind of feedback they can get from the public. And as you saw in the, you know, the public hearing last night, or read about in the public hearing last night, people were, you know, upset about it, and they were allowed to come out and say, I don't think we should do this.
And certainly not so quickly. I think one of the message that came through mostly from most of the 300 people that were there was, why so fast? There's a
right.
lot to learn about this. And all of the science so far has suggested that we need to take more time to study this.
Sure. In fact, there was a Duke University study that just came out over the summer that looked at methane contamination in groundwater, in drinking wells. And one of the things to keep in mind about this area, this 14-county area they're talking about, particularly along the Deep River, in Lee and Chatham and Moore, is that's a very rural area, and a lot of people are on wells there.
Right.
And I think what has resonated was concern about the impact on drinking water for those counties, you know, that maybe opened up.
And as you say, in that Nichols study, it showed much higher levels of methane in areas around wells than in those areas where there isn't. So there's a little bit of evidence to suggest that. But right now, you even quoted a state senator in an earlier report who said, look, right now nobody in Raleigh is an expert on drilling for natural gas. There's not a lot of expertise out there.
Right, and they're not going to become experts in 2 or 3 months after just a series of hearings. The state is not, we're not really prepared for this in terms of infrastructure. You have to think, you know, when you think about Texas, there's pipelines everywhere and crisscross in the state, and there's already a lot of infrastructure there. One thing about the area they're looking at, it's not just getting the rights and doing the fracking, but then what do you do with the natural gas after that? What kind of pipeline system do you have set up? What kind of roads? There would be a lot of right-of-way acquisition that would have to be done. We're basically talking about building an industry from scratch.
All right. And since there's already infrastructure other places, the whole question of jobs is questionable. It might be cheaper to run a pipeline to existing processing plants in Texas and elsewhere rather than build that processing capacity here.
Well, and you're also looking at, I haven't checked the price of natural gas lately, but over the summer it was pretty low. And so I think it's questionable whether the economics work right now.
Economics might work pretty well for people in depressed areas, though, in those rural areas who are now under pressure. And there are already a big uptick in the number of lease sales for mineral rights in the area. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest areas of concern right now, is that you have landowners that are entering into lease agreements that there's worry that there are some bad actors in the industry, and that there have been some predatory practices in terms of leases. Probably the one that really jumps out is you'll get a lease, and with it in the mail, unsolicited, you'll get a lease and a check. And the fine print basically says if you endorse the check, you're signing off on your on your lease.
And one of the interesting questions in other places has been who is responsible for the cleanup. You may lease those mineral rights, but if there's a problem, you own the land, you're stuck for the cleanup bill.
Right. And, you know, there's a professor at NC State, Ted Feitchens, I think is how you pronounce his last name. I hope I didn't butcher that too badly. But he's the state's leading expert in mineral leases and has studied this around the country and has a really good PowerPoint and a series of talks. And I know he's been out on the stump about this, just trying to get farmers and other landowners up to speed on what to look for in these leases. And the first thing is that these are very complicated documents. Some people don't even know if they own the mineral rights to their own land. There was the gold rush and in that area, and and also post Civil War mineral rights that were bought up, particularly around Gulf, North Carolina, where there was a coal mine. And so it could be that you don't even own the mineral rights on your own land, and you probably don't even know it. And so if you enter into a lease with a company and you're selling away something you don't own, then that could really come back to bite you.
Kirk, thanks so much for talking with us.
All right.
I'm talking with Kirk Ross. He writes for the Independent Weekly and the Carrboro Citizen. You can read his blog at exileonjonesstreet.com. State Department of Environmental and Natural Resources is accepting written comments on the study of fracking through next Tuesday, October 18th. Go to ncdenr.org. For more information. Just ahead, the poetry of W.S. Merwin on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.